Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Declarations of War. Your host for this evening, myself, Alexei of Card, Ninja Turtle.
Hello.
CSM representative, Alia Ross.
Hello.
And the one and only Kingblade.
Hey, hey, hey.
Our special guest for this cast is Bam Stroker of EveBet, Pandemic Legion, and Eve Down Under fame. Before we get into anything else, guys. Oh, sorry, Bam, go ahead and introduce yourself, my friend.
No, I was just going to say hello.
He's joining us from the Great Land Down Under. Thank you very much for, I guess, staying up late or waking up early, one of those two, to join us.
Actually, it's 12:30 in the afternoon. Oh, no, it's 1 p.m. It's middle of the day, so this isn't a problem for me at all.
Thank you for skipping work to join us here on the podcast. First things first, guys, I want to put out a little thing. I want to get us a little action going on in iTunes here. If you're a fan of the show, and especially if you listen to us via iTunes, if you would be so kind as to go in and leave a review for us. Now, you don't have to give us 5 stars, but, you know, a little give and take there, a little quid pro quo, you know what I'm saying? leave a review there. Tell us your thoughts on the show. Say what we are in the world of EVE Online podcasting. Be as honest or as flattering as you want. It's all good. But drop some reviews on us, please. You know what? Even if you think it's a 2-star podcast, just like double it, you know, 4 or 5, whatever. It's all good. Just bring those stars in, guys.
As many as you can possibly give us.
Yes, exactly. Nobody, you're not paying for stars. Exactly. We got 5 right here. These stars aren't hurting you. You're not paying extra for stars. All right. So thank you in advance for all that.
Help a podcast out.
Right. Some shout-outs. A shout-out to Rick Stavix for organizing the Stay Frosty Frigate Free-for-All. We're talking about it later in the show, but suffice to say, it was probably the best so far. And also a shout-out to Xandrafina for finally hitting 50 episodes of Crossing Zebras. They are legendary. If you're not a fan of the Crossing Zebras broadcast, I suggest you become one.
I don't have a shout-out today. So, go fuck yourself. If you'd like to purchase this shoutout spot, you can email me, but...
That's very mercenary of you, Turtle. I like it.
I just want to give a shout-out to CCP Rise PE work. This is... The stuff that's been going on with the new player experience just makes me incredibly happy, especially since that's something that, you know, a year and a half ago I was saying, man, I'd really like to see more of this.
Well, I want to give a shout-out to all my friends at EveBet. Thanks to them, this week I've made 5 bill, only lost 2, so I'm up 3, and doubling down so far on tonight's Miami versus Buffalo game. So
very nice.
Well, then I have to +1 EveBet as well, obviously, because it's great to hear that people are having success betting on the site. On a personal note, I also want to give a shout out to Ravis, who writes an awesome blog called Interstellar Privateer, and he did a piece after Fozzy announced the Theris stuff on the 07 show the other week, going into all of the lore, the potential lore surrounding Thera, and it was absolutely engrossing, and I got a massive lore boner from it, so you should go check out his blog, Interstellar Privateer. I also want to say happy birthday to Fozzy. I think it's his birthday tomorrow, if I've got this right. So by the time he hears the show, it'll be like a belated happy birthday, but happy birthday anyway. And I just want to say hello to all of my friends who hopefully will be tuning into this podcast when it's released from the Australian time zone.
Did not know it was Fozzy's birthday. Happy birthday, bro.
Yes, happy birthday.
One of the most beloved devs.
It's definitely his birthday, but we get the presents.
Exactly.
One of the most beloved or one of the most hated, depending on who you ask.
I was going to say, I've seen a lot of Fozzy hate on various platforms.
These people are ignorant.
You say hate, I say passion.
La passion.
The passion of the Fozzy.
I mean, I'm sure some people hate him, but I mean, come on. He's done way more good than harm.
It's the price you pay for doing a dirty job.
I was going to say, he does a very dirty job, and so someone's got to do it. He does it, and he does it well.
It certainly does. Bam?
Yes?
Oh, sorry, you just gave your shout-outs, of course. Mm-hmm. I was distracted by our other guest coming into the studio. Oh, thank you, Alec! This here's the Macho Man, and I want to call out the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. Dusty, do you think you're what our forefathers were thinking about when they thought up the American Dream? Ooh, yeah, I don't think so, brother.
Thank you, Macho Man. But we really do have to carry on with the show here. So, bam.
Can he just host the whole show?
Steel chair at us.
So Alec, could you ask the Macho Man what he thinks about Eve Timecoat?
Why don't you ask me directly there, King Blade? That is your real name, brother.
Well, it is. It's given to me by my mother. So Macho Man, tell me, what do you think about Eve Timecoat?
Eve Timecode? Oh, yeah, that's where your business counts, brother. For a Plex, every $250 you get a Plex is free, brother. Oh, yeah, and they accept Bitcoins as well. That's EveTimecode.com.
What is he, the Scottish now?
I thought he went a little bit pirate there at the end.
He's slipping.
Yeah.
The Macho Man's voice just can't keep it up. It takes a lot of energy, brother. Giving it all for one. You people, the fans. The madness is running wild at EveTimecode.com.
So here, Macho Man, I know that you've probably got to be parched, so why don't you go sit back down in the corner and enjoy your Fanta, and we'll continue.
Maybe
Elizabeth, get me a Fanta, brother.
Holy fuck. I cannot keep doing that. Holy shit. So, bam. Back on track. This is all Bam's fault, by the way, listeners.
I have no idea why. I thought you invoked the Randy stuff at the top of this.
The one who kept encouraging me.
I have no regrets.
Actually, it's my fault, but okay.
Alright, so, you're with Pandemic Legion.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people out there might not think of Pandemic Legion as being like a really huge Australian time zone alliance. Most of their fame comes from other sources. What's your story, Eve? How did you get in? And what took you down Pandemic Legion's road? And what do you do for them now?
Well, my story, Eve, I suppose, goes back a long way, so I won't bore you with all the details. But prior to getting involved in Sovereignty NullSec, I was in a small, mostly Australian time zone corporation that lived in Syndicate called Intersun Freelance. And I lived in there for a couple of years, moved between NPC NullSec and Wormholes, just a small, like a C2 with like a static C3, C1, just all small scale stuff. And I eventually decided that after a couple of years being with them and sort of getting up to sort of a director position, I just wanted to sort of like take my hands off the tiller a little bit and just go back to being a line member and get told what to do and have fun rather than trying to constantly generate content for people. So I looked around for a Australian time zone NullSec corporation, and I ended up going with Van Diemen's Demise. And at the time, they were in Northern Coalition. Van Diemen's Demise are pretty much a 100% purely Australian time zone corporation. They've been in NullSec forever. We've got some really cool leaders like Dark Razor and Luskin Telemon. And I after them, moved to NullSec and was with them in Northern Coalition for about a year until we just... probably about 6-7 weeks ago, moved from Northern Coalition into Pandemic Legion. So you're right when you say that Australian time zone isn't the first thing that comes to mind when you think of Pandemic Legion, but in that respect, we're only kind of just sort of shown up in the Australian time zone for Pandemic Legion. So maybe a year from now, people won't sort of have the same sort of impression when they think about PL in the Australian time zone if we do really well for ourselves.
How's it been going so far?
It's been really cool. I expected... probably there'd be a little bit of sort of hazing and things like that when we first joined, but PL actually really, really welcoming. I got to meet and hang out with a bunch of the PL guys while I was in Vegas, not just American PL guys, but there was also a lot of Euros who came over as well. And it's really, really nice. In fact, I would say in the months leading up to our departure from Northern Coalition and going into PL, we probably spent more time flying in PL-led fleets than we did in NC-led fleets. There's a a PL guy in Northeastern SWAT called Dan Sara, who's an Australian time zone player, and he FCs a lot of PL's fleets for the small amount of Australian time zone players that they used to have in the Corp. But now that we've arrived and we've joined PL, it's really just making official sort of an arrangement that we had with PL for a long time anyway. So yeah, that's where we're at.
Awesome. Now, you're also big with EVEbet fairly recently, but I think you were, if I understand correctly, you were involved with them for a long time and only now taken on increased responsibilities. What's the story with that?
Oh, well, okay. So under, like you sort of said at the top of the show, I've got my fingers in a few different pies. One of them was EVE Down Under. And in my capacity as one of the organizers of EVE Down Under, you know, you really have to spend a lot of time trying to find sponsorships and things like that and talking to people trying to get, you know, ISK and plexes and ships and things to give away for prizes and promotions. And with Soma Blink sort of going under, EVEbet became sort of a natural partner for us to gravitate towards because they're able to provide us with those kinds of things. And it just working in parallel with EVEbet, doing things for EVE Down Under, it was increasingly, my activities with EVE Down Under were increasingly starting to bleed through into EVEbet. Like, they would be doing a promotion like the Revenant Kill, and I'd be poking them and saying, guys, you could be doing so much more with this, and giving them ideas, you know, like doing tweets, making ads and things like that. And eventually they just thought, well, you're already doing all so much stuff for us. Why don't you just sort of come on board and take care of the PR and marketing and things like that for EVEbet as well? So I said, okay. So yeah, that's sort of how I got involved with them.
So speaking of EVE Down Under, I'm very jealous that I can't go, and one of my court mates is going. It's the premier, yeah, Arcantix.
Yep.
So this is the premier event, for those not in there, the premier event for EVE players in Australia, and I would guess New Zealand as well. Do you get a lot of Kiwis coming over?
We get a few Kiwis come. We also get a few people from Southeast Asia and just sort of in our slice of the world, if you will. You know, we've got like a guy coming from Korea, and there will be a few Kiwis there. And I think we might have one or two just sort of coming from, you know, sort of from Thailand, Singapore, that sort of thing. Basically, it's an alternative for Australian time zone people who maybe can't afford or don't have the time to get all the way around the opposite end of the world to go to FanFest in Iceland or go to an EVE Vegas or something like that. So we just wanted to create something similar to those events that was just on our doorstep so that all the people who otherwise wouldn't get a chance to experience that kind of EVE player gathering are able to come and do it.
Are you sold out?
No, we're not. Not nearly. Although, don't take that the wrong way. Last year, we had about 240 people show up to our event. And this year, we decided to move to a different venue. And this new venue had a capacity, like a maximum capacity of like 600 or something. And we knew we were never, ever, ever going to fill that up. There's probably not even that many active EVE players in Australia, for crying out loud. So we're probably looking at a sort of a parity towards last year at this stage. So 200 plus 240. So we're kind of happy with those numbers. We're getting a bit nervous like a couple of weeks ago when we were still sitting around like 120. We thought, what the hell's going on? But we've seen a big increase in ticket sales in the last few weeks, and what we've kind of concluded is that because we came out of the gates really hard at the beginning of the year, we'd already sort of got all the people who were going to come to buy, you know, locked in to buy their tickets really early. And so what we thought was going to turn into might actually be a bit of a disaster has actually turned out to be quite healthy. So we're happy with that.
Oh, awesome. So where can people go if we do have any Australians listening to this? I don't know that it'll come out before your event, but if Turtle's really quick, it might come out during.
Yeah, no big deal. The website for the event is it's event.evedownunder.com. You can go there and you can read all about the event. We've got CCP Rise, CCP Logibro, and CCP Mimic coming from Iceland this year. We'll have a bunch of Australian time zone speakers, including your own Arcantix Carpe Noctum. He'll be talking about Noir Academy.
I apologize in advance for his name. That's just awful.
That's okay. I've gotten used to it, so it just rolls off the tongue now quite beautifully. We'll have our pub crawl, a PvP tournament on Sunday. We actually sat down and did all the sums the other day, and we figured out we've got almost half a trillion ISK worth of in-game swag to give out to people. So we're going to have to try and figure out how to get it. But the hard part is, like, how do we get rid of all this stuff, and, you know, without sort of spending half a day doing it? So we'll find a way. EVEbet's got something really fun planned for the PvP tournament on Sunday morning, which obviously involves gambling, which I hope a lot of people get involved in. And it's looking like it's going to be a really good weekend. It's only 1 week away now. Like this time tomorrow, I'll be in Sydney getting ready, setting up for the reception on Friday evening. And I'm really excited. It's going to be amazing.
It's got to be quite exciting. Where's it being held in case this doesn't come out in time for people to hit the site?
Oh, okay. So it's being held in Sydney at the SMC Conference and SMC Conference and Functions Center, which is sort of in downtown Sydney. I think it's on Goulburn Street. And registration will be open from, I think, about 8 or 9 in the morning there on Saturday, the 22nd of November.
Brilliant.
The actual event starts the night before with the reception, which is just sort of an icebreaker, meet and greet type affair for people to catch up with each other and have a few drinks and chat to the devs and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I highly encourage anybody to go to this sort of event. I just came back from eVegas. If you listen to our last show, you can hear all about it. They're phenomenal. Like, to be in an environment where you can meet other EVE players, especially the ones that are as passionate enough to also go to this kind of event, it's just one of a kind. Definitely make it if you can.
Absolutely. And everyone leaves their politics at the door, and doesn't matter what walk of life you're from in game, you know, people love to have a chat, have a drink with you and hang out, and you'll make some new space friends. It's definitely worth doing.
All right, well, Ben will be sticking with us for the rest of the cast, so we're not gonna really go super into depth with him right now, although there are gonna be a couple issues down the line which we're definitely gonna turn to him for, not the least of which is a very much anticipated video that just got released. We're talking about that in EVE News. First things first, though, poll results. Will your corp/alliance be using Phoebe to jumpstart a new conflict? You know, everything's changing, the universe is becoming a lot smaller, and some people are looking at this maybe as an opportunity to start some shit. 35% of our audience is part of a corp or alliance that plans on starting a new war after the Phoebe patch. And there has been quite a bit of activity after Phoebe. Not all of it Sov-related, quite a bit in LoSec. So I personally expected this to be slightly higher, but on the other hand, I'm not surprised that people are sort of playing it safe and, you know, not necessarily poking somebody straight off and more waiting to see what everyone else is doing. Well, I know for Nora's case, we've spent most of the post-patch time off contract because we had just come off a long contract. We do have a few to talk about in the contract wrap-up. I don't want to spoil that contract wrap-up, but I will say I think Phoebe played a role in how one of those contracts went, the Stay Frosty one. Turtle, how is Waffles doing with this whole can't jump tons of places anymore thing?
We were never really jumping anywhere in the first place. I mean, like, we have a lot of guys that do Black Ops and shit, and there's been a couple Black Ops events since the patch, but, like, I don't know, we moved down there, or, well, we moved down, down in towards, like, Sendai and Derelict region, kind of nearby PL's deployment, and we just moved down there with the expectation that we weren't going anywhere for a few months, and so, I don't know. The only time we ever jump is when we move shit, so.
Are you guys officially deployed with PL, or is this an independent thing?
Well, we are an independent entity, quote-unquote, right? But we're working with them.
Mm. Interesting.
We didn't have, I'll put it this way, we didn't have to go down there and be next to them. We could have done something completely different. But this is where it's happening. And there are a lot of dumbasses out here. Like, literally, last night, a completely unfit Oracle with a shuttle in the cargo hold. Like, roll that on your tongue, right, for a little bit. Just some of the stupidest shit out here. Unfit ships, and just like, I don't know. But it's pretty cool. Yeah, Brave and Hero, giving us a lot of content.
We're going to be talking about that for sure. I guess it's all part of this discussion, like, Phoebe has happened. Is it a success? Is it meeting the goals? And I think Pandemic Legion's new deployment against Hero is sort of probably going to be the first test of that, because I think it's the first
It's the first, like, post-Phoebe instance of a major power deploying against another major power. Even though PL technically moved down there before Phoebe, they're fighting under Phoebe rules.
Yeah, but given the... given the... relative... SP... levels of the two groups, I don't know that I would... I don't know that I would characterize it as kind of an even... you know, one side versus another side, both have an equal shot of getting anywhere. Because in the end, PL can just say, "All right, we're bringing supers."
They have, but not as easily. And also, Hero is like six times the size of PL. Probably, like, I mean, honestly, if they really started dragging up numbers, I mean, you would have fleets that could... you have the potential within that coalition to, like, have fleets that outnumber PL, like, 10 to 12 to, fuck, 15 to 1. Like, PL's not putting out, like, 1,000-man fleets and shit. And Hero is, like, this, what, either the first or second biggest coalition in the game.
Remember, boys, shit is a weapon. Monkeys use it.
Yeah,
aim for the eyes.
Pack as many people into the room as humanly possible. Drop supers if the archons aren't having the desired effect on the node.
I mean, that's...
that's the thing, is... drop supers in, how big of a subcapital blob do you need to take out a ball of supers?
Well, like, there's really no incentive to drop caps on Hero. I mean, for clearing out bosses and shit, yeah, whatever, but even then, I don't think... maybe people were dropping supers, but that's pretty casual. Like,
yeah,
there's no reason to. Like, all the kills, all these big fights and shit, it's all at, like, the sub cap level, like frigates, destroyers, some cruisers. Like, when they nut up, they're bringing, like, Dami fleets or something with, you know, like, 40 Damis. But, like, there's no incentive to drop supers. The risk is just not. Titans are dying left and right.
Are they dead?
Well, left and right might be a bit of a stretch.
Not left and right, but there's definitely a lot still happening. So, yeah, it's just not worth it.
What about bridging, though?
We don't... well... I mean... what about it?
Like, is it still happening as frequently? Like, Titan bridges and stuff like that?
There's
a major expectation it would take a sharp downturn.
I don't know, Bam, if you guys did it a shit ton, but we really don't bridge all that much. Or we haven't in the past. I mean, we'll do it from time to time, but usually, like, it's in conjunction with PL doing something, and it's their Titan. We don't, like, have a bridging Titan we can just holler at.
Bam, you there?
Yes, I am. I just got back.
Oh, hey, welcome back.
Sorry, I AFK'd and everything, didn't you notice?
Turtle was asking whether or not Pandemic Legion is using bridges at sort of the same rate as pre-Phoebe.
No, definitely not. There's been a big reduction in use of anything with a jump drive, which is kind of the point, I suppose, and it's been successful. I think, I can't remember where I heard the conversation, but someone saved Jeff Rader from giving himself like a month of jump fatigue or something the other night, just by sort of like, no, don't press it, you know, because he got the calculations wrong in his head or something. So instead of getting 30 days, he only got like 5 days. So yeah, we're very conscious of the effect that, you know, the new mechanics are having on our ability to move around. And as far as I know, no one's been near a jump bridge in a serious way for a while. And I think it was someone published a map showing the statistics for gate movements, and it's just been exploding all over New Eden, even in, you know, really, really dead out of the way places like Omis and Peregrine Falls and things like that. The number of gate jumps has just escalated massively, because now instead of people just going from bridge to bridge, they're flying from, you know, their destination, taking gates the whole way, more or less.
Well, yeah, that's kind of my thought, is, like, jump bridge pauses are probably hit the hardest by this, is when you can't, like, just circumvent. That 4 or 5 jumps, you know, as you're crossing your region or whatever, is probably one of the biggest uses of them, so.
Mm-hmm. It might take 1 or 2 if you're really impatient, or if you absolutely have to get somewhere as quick as you can, but no more than that, for sure. People are just going to be gating it the rest of the way.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at... moving a carrier now. It was 3 jumps before. It's 11 jumps now.
That's, yeah, see? So, and 11 jumps, how long is that going to put you out of action for?
I mean, to be honest, so I did a few jumps last night, actually, in the post-VB environment, and what I found is that if you're doing your own Sino and you only have one Sino, realistically, like, you do end up spending a lot of time, like, getting that Sino in position again, like, blah, blah, blah. So you burn off your jump timer, like, no doubt, before your Sino is even down, and then, like, you can do that, you know, probably 3 or 4 times and then log off. And if you're a normal person, you don't log on for another 12 to 14 hours, like, that, mm-hmm. your jump fatigue's gone. Like, in essence, like, if you're willing to just kind of do it in small bits, it's really kind of an unobtrusive system. Unintrusive.
Yeah. If you take a gate, go one jump to the next, take one bridge, go one gate to the next jump, and then just sort of sit there cloaked in system or something for 5 minutes and go make a profit, then you're okay.
Fuck no, dude. You're asking to get purged. Come on. Fuck no. Station to station, just be a man and just fucking chill and, yeah.
Yeah, so sure. I'm doing a quick survey of the timer boards here, and I'm seeing a fair number of fights for either kills on solve structures or fights around timers and stuff that are ended by just, you know, all right, well, fun's over, bringing the super cap hammer down now. And that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. Even if there are sub-capital fights going on here, if the minute that something of actual importance gets contested, let's just drop supers on it, that's not really an even, you know, fight.
It may also have something to do with the fact that if a fleet has already been around, put several structures into reinforcement, then you'll have several structures coming out back to back. And perhaps rather than sticking around for good fights, the attitude is like, we've just got a fucking job to do. So we're just going to do it as efficiently as we can. And so bring the supers. Let's just get it done.
I mean, realistically, that's just a problem of their HP count, right? Like, we don't really want the Sov. Like, they're just doing it to fuck with them, right? But, like, just the HP pool is just so massive, you can't do it inefficiently.
If you don't want the Sov, then why go to all the trouble to actually finish taking it?
Because it brings them out, gets them to fight
us. It's the fight force kind of thing.
Yeah.
Conflict driver.
Yeah, conflict driver.
Buzzword.
Content creator.
Sandbox tools.
Farms and fields.
Big black dildos.
Yeah, but I mean...
Turtle, did you spray Axe on these dildos?
I hear what you're saying, Allie. Like, yeah, it's not a fair fight, but I mean... You could say that about a lot of shit that goes on. I mean, it's really not unique to PL and Waffles or and versus, like, Hero. Or...
Yeah,
I mean,
you can.
Goonswarm hasn't really brought a fair fight to very many people lately, so, I mean...
Yeah, you can. You know, I noticed that y'all aren't taking on any arms of the CFC or anyone that's actually going to put up one. But the big thing that I take away from this with respect to Phoebe is, you know, it's helped in that the map has shifted around and some of that stuff has happened. But it also enables a conflict more like this where PL can go out on their own and deploy supers and whatnot, necessarily having to worry about one of their enemies being able to burn down and get on them. There's not a bat phone that Hero can call in on the basis of the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Well, I guess in that respect they should be happy that it's us coming in, not the CFC.
Yeah, but at the same time, I would also say that based on Hero's numbers that they can produce... and I'm sure that there are other... I know that there are other blocks Hero, if they absolutely had to, could probably get to come to them if there was a big escalation in conflict. Because people are just going to come for the good fights.
Yeah, but are people going to bring the kind of force that's actually a serious threat to... I mean, the thing that Phoebe has done is it's meant that if you're going to bring your super fleet to where you could get in a super fight with Pandemic Legion, that super fleet is now far away from the middle of your space. And this is a great thing for the game. This means that this means that it's a lot harder to be blue to someone on the bottom side of the map, because if they've got their backs up against a wall, you are so much more incentivized to just go, well, you know, forget you, got mine. Like, that can happen. I think that's overall good for the game, but the interim effect is, or an effect that it has, and I don't necessarily think that, you know, I certainly don't think the old blue is better, is it enables this sort of local asymmetrical conflict.
For what it's worth, when we, about early last month, when we started talking about ditching Bot Lord, resetting blues, and everyone got super duper excited, and I was particularly looking forward to what would come next, but I can't speak for anyone else in PL, but I was kind of bummed when they said that we're going to go down to the south, because I really was hoping we'd go north, set up shop in Venal, and start messing with Evcon and Razor and Goons and all those kinds of guys. So I feel you for what you're saying, that it feels like it's a little bit of a, you know, a little bit bullying, you know, fighting Brave and third partying on their war with CVA and things like that. But it's still content, and it gives everybody something to do. And I would prefer we were maybe stepping up a little bit more and taking on, you know, someone our own size, if you will. But where possible, I know that AFC is trying to keep things on a, you know, try and have some sort of parity in our fleet compositions if we're just out for good fights. So we try not to blob. I mean, I think earlier today, if I've got this right, BNI were pinging for everyone. They were expected to get about 400 people in their fleet. And the ping that I saw from the PL side is like, if we get 70, we'll fight them. So, you know, did you have anything to do with that?
No, but it was a point I made earlier. It's like, if they want to put numbers, I mean, they could honestly outmatch us 5-1.
Mm-hmm,
It's not like we're going in there and just bullying the shit out of them. Like, well, I don't know. It doesn't feel that way to us. Like, we were pretty pumped to move because we don't really get to move all that often. So, like, well, when we do get to move, we're like, all right, cool. And go check out something new for a while. And it's like, I don't know. It's a different experience for us.
I think a lot of it has to be the psychological factor. I mean, Hiroko going up against Pandemic Legion. Like, you know, even if they could outnumber you 5-1, there's still that fear of failure there.
There's also, I mean, there's that. There's the budget factor. PL certainly has deeper war chests than Hero Coalition does. They've had better space for longer. They ever had a rental program. You know, there's the fact that you can outnumber 5-1, and it, you know, if it's for one of these timers and the supers keep coming out on one of these timers, you can have a great fight. And the minute you start losing the fight, well, the larger ships are going to come out to play. And that is, you know, that is, We talked about this a lot back when slow cats were the hot topic. Is what do you do with a small number of people against a greater number of pilots, and that's upgrade to super carriers and capital ships.
And if only you were to do something like remove the ability for super carriers to rep each other without fear of electronic warfare. You know, maybe if you took away their armor repping, then subcap fleets could all of a sudden be a threat to them. If only we had put that suggestion out a couple podcasts ago. I mean, like what you said, what is a pile of subcap supposed to do to a pile of supercarriers? It should be, you know, wear them down one by one and kill them all. Because the supercarrier should not really be able to fight back against them without a support fleet. But that's not the way it is.
Well, this change to the long-distance travels is, you know, people have said it before, it's just the first step. I don't know, who knows what the complexion of the rest of the changes, apart from Ali, who knows what the complexion of changes for the rest of Solve is going to look like. Maybe it's going to include some rebalancing to supers, with regards to their immunity to e-war and their remote repair effects and things like that. And certainly it was obviously something to do with the way that, you know, you take and you hold sovereignty space. Maybe all these things together are going to sort of like see that sort of a reset. And, you know, I mean, the small guy, the new guys on the block need to be able to make a difference. Obviously they can't just, you know, 10 guys can't just come in, shouldn't be able to come in and like wreck your sov, but they should have a place in the fight. And that should be the same if you've got a bunch of low-skilled pilots or you've got a few of high-skilled pilots. Even though they may not be able to fight each other directly, they should at least be able to influence the SOV, the lay of the land in SOV in different ways, even if it doesn't bring them in direct conflict with each other.
I think one nice thing about the Phoebe change that's going to play into that is when you do start seeing these big timers, you're going to see the return of people camping the gates on the outside of the system for reinforcements flying in and out.
Like, it won't just be slipping in one ship and then lighting a sign.
Right. It would be okay, you'd catch maybe a couple people coming through in pods, but for the most part, there was a time where, and I think Goonswarm pioneered the tactic, or it was Goonswarm or Test, but like, as fast as their pilots would get potted, they'd have ships ready to go in their staging system, and they just constantly spam the Titan Bridge and just keep feeding those pilots back into the fight like a meat grinder. That's not going to be so feasible anymore. So if you're going to get those reinforcements in, especially if you just bridge them, they're probably going to have fatigue timers, probably going to have to fly there, which means there might be opportunities for small gangs to harass.
I think we saw like the beginnings of that during BTACR, didn't we? Where the goons decided to keep all of their subcaps out of the system entirely, instead sent them off to sort of camp in pilots that were reshipping in staging systems, you know, 3, 4, 5 jumps away. And they just left their caps and super caps in BTACR to do the actual fighting. See, that was
a tie-dye thing, though.
Yeah, oh yeah, but I mean, it's kind of cool. It made the fight more interesting, and it'd be nice if it was possible for them to, you know, develop, you know, with things like the long distance javel change, you know, to engineer mechanics in the game that make that desirable to do, and not just sort of like a necessary side effect of, you know, slow our server performance in tie-dye.
So Turtle, where's your sense of where this BL hero thing is? Is going. I know Pandemic Legion is attacking the Saab, but is that just a turnout fights, or do you think things could get out of hand and they could actually take Hero's space for Renter space?
No, I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong, Bam, but that's not the feeling I get.
Because, I mean, you guys have had campaigns where you've just started them for the good fights, and then wind up, you know, just rolling an entire region.
Bam went AFK again, so... I don't know. No, I mean, there's not really that feeling there. But, I mean, it's really just to kind of draw out the fights and give us something to do.
Well, I wish best of luck to both sides. Both cool people. Speaking of cool people, the Phoebe Freeport Republic. It is a new alliance forged on Reddit. I really like these guys. I really, really like these guys. They heard the 00 manifesto of like, hey, we should have NPC space everywhere. And they were like, you know what? Let's be the change we want to see in the world. And their goal is to put a free port in every region of the game that doesn't have NPC space. I think it's brilliant. And they have an initial success. After the patch, they went in and they captured a station in the drone regions. Now, it's quite close to Empire, but it's still a pretty significant accomplishment, and they managed to hold on to it as well. I love these guys. I want to do what they're doing so much, you have no idea. I think it's a brilliant goal. Absolutely brilliant.
Well, and not even that. It'd be like a cool thing to go back to, because, I mean, that used to be kind of a thing that existed. The free port system under ISS.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a pretty cool thing to have in NullSec, because it really did help stimulate conflict.
I think a lot of people don't want to touch it because of how ISS ended, but ISS's controversies didn't really have anything to do with the Alliance concept. It was all kinds of metagame politics.
Yeah.
I'm glad they're bringing it back, and I hope one day I'll be somewhat involved. Either maybe they'll contract us, or we could sponsor them. Who knows? But, you know, they're in their early stages now. Where they go from here, who knows? But that seems like the kind of organization that could make a lot of use of mercenaries. So fingers crossed.
By the way, we're hiring. Or we're open to be hired.
White Noise is back. Under a different name. But still. I don't know how I feel about this. The ex-leader of White Noise, I cannot pronounce his name, Saxos Kahi, whatever.
he was the sort of founder slash brainchild of this White Noise Alliance, which, for those of you who are relatively new to the game, was a Russian alliance which sprang up, it felt like, out of nowhere. They just turned up and turned up with one of the largest supercap fleets in the game and just rolled regions. And they were pretty scary. Because of the nature of their arrival on the scene and their Russian background, there is a lot of allegations of RMT-related activity, both in the acquisition and subsequent selling of the supercaps. Now, we here at Declarations of War do not support or dispute the veracity of these claims. We're just reporting the facts. And the fact is, people felt like there was a lot of shady stuff going on, but nothing was ever proven one way or the other, as far as I know.
I was going to say, wasn't it White Noise, the alliance, that there was the accusation that one of the members was like some oil baron's kid who had daddy's credit card and ended up buying everyone in the alliance a Titan?
Whether it was Titan or Supercarrier, yeah, I think so. But, I mean, who knows? I've heard that story by a couple of Russian alliances. It is really suspicious how they were able to acquire such a large super fleet so quickly without, like, anyone noticing. That's a little weird. But yeah. They're back. Where they're going is interesting. They're not rejoining the other Russians down in Stain instead, or even Curse. Instead, they're going north. They're going north to Venal. And they're going to be under the Alliance ticker Total Absolution Dot. That said, there have been some Sov transfers their way to an alliance called Absolution Alliance. Aetherium Reach, Peregrine Falls, these are drone region areas. And apparently M3 was like, oh, they're back? Well, here's some regions. And they're going to be using them for renter space.
So is this where I put on my tinfoil hat?
Go for it.
I don't know. It seems to me a little suspicious that White Noise just pops up after Phoebe. I don't know. It seems contrived, and I'm curious to see how long it sticks around and whether they turn around and stab the bite the hand that fed them.
What if White Noise is really, like, the shadow government of the CFC?
Like I said, tinfoil hat time.
I mean, it all fits so perfectly.
And the Mitanni is really a Russian oligarch?
Well, he was wearing red the last time I saw him. Communism confirmed.
I think he's actually got a tiny little alien inside of him driving him like a machine.
But yeah, the Alliance was founded October 29th. It already has 438 members over 16 corporations. That's crazy.
Yeah, this sounds like something that... It seems like White Noise 2.0. Does anyone else...
It literally is White Noise 2.0. Like, the exact same thing. I guess they're going to use the Phoebe opportunity to take some space up north. That'd be an interesting situation to watch. I really wonder what the motivation was behind them not joining the other Russians down in Stain. Allegedly, it was because they liked to farm too much. And, like, White Noise is in it for the PvP kind of thing.
Well, White Noise has always been in it for the PvP. That was one thing that they were known for, is that they were... You know, you knew you could go... You could run through White Noise space and you knew you could get a fight. you know, it usually wasn't a fun fight because, you know, you'd be, you know, a 5-10 man fleet and all of a sudden you're going up against, you know, 60-65 man, you know, counter fleet, but it's still, you knew you could get a fight out of them.
Well, if that's the case, then I think the North is going to have its hands full. All right, Turtle, you want to take us into the wormhole?
Why would I?
Well, no, I presume
you added that.
Yeah. Oh, that was you.
Yes.
I read like Turtle. Sorry, go ahead, Bam.
Oh, really? Oh, it's nice to know I'm in such auspicious company then.
Take it as a compliment.
I would.
I don't know if you guys read it, but Fozzie released the dev blog today with the specifics about Thera and the new wormhole systems that they'll be adding in. I think they're calling it Ray. Looks pretty cool. Have you guys been following that? Or is that not your jam?
I don't really give a fuck about wormholes anymore.
There you go, so it's not your jam.
I'm familiar with it. I think the system is cool. Like I said, I believe on Eve Radio recently, I don't see a downside to it.
Nah, neither do I. In fact, I'm really excited about it. I want to go stick my nose in there. And it's funny today because I was thinking about this, like, I used to live in like low-end wormholes for a little while, and I really liked the rules in wormholes, you know, the no local and, you know, having to live by your wits and probe and descan and all those kinds of things. And so I was like, yeah, I've definitely got to go check this Thera thing out. But then I realized I'm not really in an environment, corporate alliance-wise, where it'll be easy to like rally people to go and check this out because they're all embroiled, you know, in NullSec right now. And I was thinking, oh, Christ, what am I going to do? I don't want to go alone. So I wasn't even thinking about it at the time, but I reflected on it, and I thought, this is, you know, well played, Fozzie, because I'd taken the dev blog link, and I emailed it to two of my friends who have been unsubbed for Eve for about 6 months. I said, hey, guys, check this out. Doesn't this sound awesome? And they're like, yeah, that does sound awesome, and they're going to resub and come check it out with me. So if my case is an example, it's, I think, even before it's, being deployed on Tranquility, it's already op success as far as this goes, because there's at least two nerds who are coming back to check it out, so maybe there will be more.
That's a pretty cool story. I'm kind of excited to check it out. I don't know, like, if I would ever move there, but it will be cool to see.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what develops anyway. I mean, even if you don't go and move in there full time, having this you know, massive wormhole system, sort of like safari, I guess like a safari park central hub. You might want to just go in there for a weekend or just an evening. If you're out roaming, you don't see anyone. If you've got a prober in fleet and you find a wormhole that leads there, maybe that's where it'll take you roam. Who knows? I mean, it can't be bad, put it that way. And the there's a lot of wormhole-related lore, which I am a bit of a lore nerd when it comes to Eve. Certainly not as, you know, across it as guys like Mark 726 or anything, but I've always found it really, really fascinating, and I also appreciate the fact that they seem to be reinvesting themselves now in the wormhole storyline, because I lap that shit up as much as I enjoy flying spaceships.
I think what you said there is really important. It can't be bad. Like, it strikes me as a very sandboxy type tool. Let's put in this unique system, no caps, no passes, just one station. And it, like, spiders out to wormholes and K-space and has all these crazy connections going in. And that's like, let's just see what the players do with it. Let's see who moves in. Let's see how they use it. I think, like you said, like, a really good example of it would be, hey, we're out roaming. We found a wormhole. This wormhole goes to Thera. Oh, cool. Let's go in there. See if we can find a fight. If we can't, let's go out. Who knows where? Like, it could be several exits for you to pick from.
Apparently there will be, like, several statics at any given time. And the whole system's, like, 340 AU across. So it'll be virtually impossible for just sort of any one group of players to lock it down. Because even if you've got eyes on each hole, someone comes in and you engage them, help's still going to be, you know, a long warp away. And the other interesting thing about the space is apparently there's going to be no static bubbles. So you can have Hicta bubbles and Dicta bubbles, but you can't anchor bubbles in there. So I think that'll make it a little bit spicier too. Should cut down on the potential for, along with the nerf to hobo jamming, should cut down the potential for people getting hell camped into any of the, I think there's like four stations in there. Plus, they also have full medical services, so you can set up a clone in there if you want and just clone jump into wormhole space, which is crazy.
I think probably what will happen is there'll be a major force that comes in there and controls the stations. But that'll still allow lots of through traffic, I think.
Yeah, for sure. And if there is a major force occupying it all the time, well, then you always know there's going to be someone in there to shoot at. Whether or not they'll have overwhelming numbers is, you know, obviously remains to be seen. But
right.
Yeah, it's just one more part, you know, addition to the sandbox that, you know, people can make of it what they will.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I will use it at least once. I'll go as far as to say.
I'm going to run home tonight and fire up CC and go stick my nose in. I can't wait.
And another news. One Man Crew has finally been released. If you haven't been following it, this is a project by Miz here of apparently My Alliance, as I found out today. He's in Suddenly Spaceships. And the concept was to have a solo PvP video composed of solo PvP fights submitted by all kinds of people. It was like, I mean, if you look at the track listing, you look at all the people that were involved, it was a massive production. It's over an hour long, and it's all different pilots. I think the total count is over 80 pilots. I don't have the exact number in front of me. But that's hardcore. And all of them are well formatted, all of them are well camered, you know, all that. They only selected the finest ones. So if you're into PvP videos, this is definitely one of the ones to check out. And congratulations to Miz here and everyone else that was involved for finally pulling it all together and getting it out there, because it was a very large undertaking. Sponsored by EveBet, as I found out today.
As I found out just recently as well. This was this has been in the pipeline for a long time, hasn't it? I think it was 6 months or more ago when this all started, and people were starting to say it was going to never materialize. So the arrangements with EBET were probably made before my time being involved with them.
Still, I thought that was quite classy.
I hope I haven't watched it yet. Did the solo Phoenix make it in?
I don't know. I've only been able to watch the first 5 minutes, which is the first two kills or so, or two fights or so.
Is in there.
Oh,
sweet.
Awesome. That was such, because that kind of, I guess that kind of got leaked on Twitch or something, like months and months ago, and it was amazing to watch this guy in a Phoenix just blapping people on an undock. It was incredible. So I think it was Lord Servant, so it would be worth watching for that.
That's what it was.
Yeah, it's going to be
awesome. I saw that when it came out.
Garmin was also involved with the project. I thought that was cool to see his name connected to it. I don't hear much out of him anymore, but I miss him.
If you want to hear something out of Garmin, just go watch some Campbell Empire Alliance tournament ads, mate.
Yeah, true. Alrighty. Contract wrap-up. Stay Frosty Frigate, free-for-all. Quite the mouthful. Suddenly Spaceships was hired as the security force for this year's event. It was held in Bazgarin last week. Excuse me, last weekend. And it was awesome. I don't know how else to say it. I participated in the one last year, and like that one was ruined by lots of Sino hot droppers, and I mean, not ruined. It was still fun, but it was much more like a lot of the other common events that you see in EVE, where something's going down in low sec and everybody dogpiles onto it. And not everybody plays by the rules of the event, of course, if there are any rules at all. So for this one, there absolutely were rules. Rix Javix wanted it to be frigates only, and we were hired to make sure that his wishes were respected. And I think I would need to give an assist to Phoebe for this, because I don't think we had a single gang Sino into us. We did have a cruiser fleet roll through, two in fact. They rolled in, I think they killed a ship, and then they were rolled right the fuck back out. But in the meantime, we killed 87 ships, near over 3 billion in damage. Most of that is people that were trying to run the camp. We killed some 5 battleships, including a smart bomber that was looking to ruin the festivities. You know, not having any of that. We also killed a Tech 3 that was quite pricey. An Orca that was bringing in illegal reships. All that had to go. The event lasted for several hours. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, sorry, I'm probably not supposed to interrupt you during this part. Sorry, I'm new here. How'd you know the Orca was carrying illegal reships?
Well, there were no Orcas allowed. So obviously any reships within were clearly against the rules.
Oh, I'm sorry, carry on.
So we blew it up. It was pretty clear, frigates only. And then after 4 hours, I believe it was, he opened it up to like faction frigates and T2s and all that. They could come in after that point. Everybody else got the axe. And then to cap things off, you know, at the stroke of midnight, so to speak, after our time at the event was over, we announced in local that we were off the clock, and we warped the fleet into the station and would engage anyone that would fight us. So we blew up tons of frigates. And then we had a couple people reshipping to participate in the actual frig brawl as well. All in all, it was just an amazing time. I want to thank Rix and everybody in Stay Frosty for putting that event together, and I look forward to next year's, definitely. Turtle, take it away for this week in Turtles.
So I do a lot of research, a lot of science, right? And so I enjoy turtles, and I've compiled some of the best turtle facts that you probably didn't know through all my various crawlings of the web. But primarily through this one website I just found when I googled turtle facts. Here, I bet you didn't know that turtles, once they get a taste for human flesh, can eat nothing else ever again. The turtle's natural predator is rhythm and blues. Turtles can actually do rudimentary math like addition and subtraction, but they lack the capacity to truly understand negative numbers. We reproduce asexually by a process called binary fission. And turtles live in an honor-shame society, as described in Amy Schwa's book Battle Hymn of the Tiger Mother, which is why most turtle parents are unbearable.
I can't pronounce Chinese names.
That's actually a misspell. It's Yue, so it is Schwa. Google it.
Proceed, and then, turtle.
And then something about Australian people, I don't know. So apparently Australian people can grow up to 9 feet long and spit acid up to 20 feet.
No, that's the Australian drop turtle.
Which seems like it would be a good evolutionary countermeasure to Australia as a whole.
That would definitely come in handy. I think the only thing that doesn't try to kill you down there is the Vegemite.
If you eat enough of it, it will.
No, the Vegemite even tries to kill you.
Any more, or are you done?
No, I'm done.
Okay. That was This Week in Turtles. Join us again next week for another inciting installment of Mercenaries and Eve. Not doing anything interesting except for Pandemic Legion and us. Eve Bet, our beloved Bam Stroker, has personally thanked me for our fabulous flattering of him and the entire Eve Bet organization on the show. They've been our sponsor for quite a while now, and with all honesty, guys, they really deserve it. They're a fantastic organization. I use their site. You should use their site if you're not already. It's a lot of fun. And there's tons of stuff that you can bet on. They're New Eden's premier betting service. You can not only bet on Eve stuff, but you can also bet on like real-life sports. Just now, I put 100 million ISK on the Philadelphia Eagles defeating the Green Bay Packers. It's American football if you're not down with it. The odds are actually particularly favorable for that bet. I was surprised at seeing I could triple my money on what I feel is going to be a pretty sure bet. So, you know, little insider trading tip to the Declarations of War audience. Hit Eve Bet and go bet on the Eagles for this weekend. It's going to be, I'm not going to take any responsibility. I'm not going to offer any refunds, so to speak, but I think that would be a solid investment. They've handled hundreds of trillions since opening, so they're a service you can trust. And not only do they have Eve stuff like the Alliance Tournament and real life stuff like the NFL, but you can also play blackjack, slot machines. All the odds there are industry standard, so you know you're going to get a good deal. And they're constantly adding new stuff you can bet on every week. That's eve-bet.com, eve-bet.com. Thank you for all your support, Bam. It's fabulous.
No yes. Problems.
And you should also check your contracts when you're in-game. There's a little something-something there which you might want to give out to your listeners.
Yes, Bam has kindly donated on behalf of EveBet 5 Plex for us to do with as we wish.
Have your wicked way with them.
So we have not quite decided how to distribute it to you, the fans, but be assured by the time of the next podcast, if not sooner on the website, we will announce the details of how you can win one of these choice plexes. These are from Bam's personal stash.
They're pretty much my entire personal stash, unfortunately.
It's the dankest kush of plex.
It's the stickiest of the sticky icky.
The stickiest of the icky. We'll smoke it up with the old boy, Rick James.
Yes, old boy.
Okay, Allie, take it away before I get carried away.
Alright, so for the CSM corner, a couple of things, and then we have a larger discussion to get into. The first one is fairly brief. Eve's UI, which has historically been not one of the things that you point people to. You know, you introduce your friends to Eve and you're like, oh, it's a great game, it's a ton of fun, you should totally join my corp, it's great. Here, take this referral link, I'll give you 250, well, it's Plex have gone up, I'll give you like 400 million ISK to start out and you won't run out of money for at least a month. But don't mind the UI, it looks like a total turd. It doesn't look like a total turd anymore, or it won't in the future. The UI team has in fact done the thing, has in fact gone away and redesigned it, and it looks pretty slick. It's sort of got the whole flat, translucent sci-fi thing going on. There's a dev blog up with pretty pictures. My words are not going to describe it very well. There's some sort of edge case usability issues in terms of, are people going to be able to, you know, if you have difficulty, part of the thing is they've improved the transparency and translucency, and so if you have, you know, difficulty reading stuff with the space scene behind it, you might have a couple of difficulties. So in that way, you know, there's still some tweaks that might be made. There may be some, you know, configuration options that the UI team should add, but it certainly looks, at least to me, I'm curious for your opinions on it, but it certainly looks like at least an improvement. It doesn't change the functionality all that much, but it's pretty.
So I did log on to check it out, not intentionally. I had logged on to teach an electronic warfare class for NOR Academy over the weekend, and obviously the UI changes were quite noticeable. But I was surprised after the fact, looking at the dev blog, like, it didn't seem that revolutionary to me. It didn't seem very different. Maybe I'm just not a UI connoisseur. Like, I don't know the different hues and grades of it. But as a user, I didn't feel like there was a substantial difference between the two. I was surprised to see it being lauded as such.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's mostly, like, it's not, in terms of, I think the user experience, you've got the whole thing where, you know, the way that you're interacting with it is not going to change. It is not going to change in too many ways, which is, you know, the one of the parts that definitely does still need some work. But it's one of those things that just, it looks cleaner. They're using it. It also means that the stuff which is using the new kind of things, you know, ISIS and the new industry window, don't look quite so weird compared to the older parts of the game.
I suppose. I mean, it's certainly not a bad change. Don't get me wrong. I was just surprised that it's, like, being lauded as a complete redesign. It doesn't feel like a complete redesign to me. But like I said, I'm not, like, as hardcore into UI changes as a lot of other CSMs were.
Certainly there's work put into that thing. That's sort of the quick, you know, new news. We talked about how the Rhea change, or not Rhea, I'm sorry. We talked about how the Phoebe changes have been so far. The Rhea changes are going to start hitting the dev blogs. And those ones, you know, the ones that have been spoiled already, and those ones probably be a good thing for next show. But for this one, I wanted to revisit something that happened almost a year ago. We're not quite at the one-year anniversary. Sword of Honor Summit, we had Declarations of War 66. First part of the episode was Black Mark Awards. The second part of the episode I summarized in the pre-show as, I think everyone got really down on Eve and the CSM for like an hour or something. I don't remember. It was really, really, really long.
The title was called 66.2, quote, "This Whole CSM Thing," end quote.
Yep. And the show notes include Allie likes the ESS, Alec hates that she likes the ESS, a feeding frenzy on the numerous design issues of the ESS ensues, and where were we? Oh yeah, the ESS, at great length.
Extremely scandalous structures.
Yep. We also discussed Rupert Tegg, at that time a CSM vice chair, put out a post that was very, very down on Eve's future. And in particular, the future of Eve subscriber numbers. So the question I wanted to ask this group, you and Turtle were both there, Kingblade and Bant, obviously you guys weren't. How are we doing now? We're now past what would have been the winter expansion, if we were having a winter expansion, and we're not having those anymore. How's that been going? How's the feeling?
The ESS still blows balls. So we're still there in that particular sense.
Yeah. I actually remember I was on this episode. I may not have been on 66.2, but I do know I was on, I think, on 66.1.
You may have been. For point two, it was Sensational and Star Conquer 212.
But yeah, I remember talking about Rupert Tegg's, his lovely graph of the slow and steady decline of the player base of Eve.
So on the ESS front, the fixes that need to get put into it still aren't there, which is a little frustrating, but I would like to see them more widely used. I think that for a time before people figured out how to really use them, they were a pretty good conflict driver. But now defenders have realized just how easy it is to defend them. And it's not. So, I mean, first of all, they'll still be put inside anomalies that are fully triggered. And then the other side of it is, it's so easy for a defender to go in and take the value out of it that it's not really seen as a viable objective for attackers because there's no reasonable expectation for anything to be in there. I mean, occasionally there is, but it's quite rare. And again, because it's so easy and because they can do it so far in advance, it's not likely to, as an attacker, catch a defender trying to cash out. That was pretty much figured out in like the first month of the ESS being out.
Yeah, so that it did some things. It, you know, has kind of faded into has been solved, as it were. Which is, you know, a thing that eventually happens to mechanics in Eve. And there's things CCP could do to adjust it. I'm not sure if at this point I would say, you know, it's one of those things that I'd suggest if, you know, we're in a meeting and CCP's talking about, like, how can we change the risk-reward of ratting and nullsec and make it more interactable? And this would be the time to be like, so remember that ESS you made? But other than that, I don't think I'm going to, you know, hie off to the CSM forums and say, you know what, you should really devote a lot of development energy to? It's fixing the ESS.
Well, it's in some ways, it's interesting. We're now in the rapid release point of Eve, where... And CCP is not waiting 6 months to make changes. They're doing it every other month. So it's sort of surprising to me that this hasn't been looked at since then. And since it's essentially... I mean, minimum fix would be a numbers tweak. Just make it take longer for the defender to pull the crap out of it. If you wanted to mechanics tweak it, I guess, you know, that might be a little more technically difficult trying to make it so that it can't be anchored inside anomalies. But the main thing is the defender taking Isk out is way too quick. There's no reasonable expectation of being able to catch someone there. Mm-hmm. And that's what's stopping it from being really interactable right now. And it hasn't been touched.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
But what about so what about the rest of it? The big question, you know, you have in the show notes, the big question, are these deployable structures a product of reluctance to deal with the core issues holding Eve back?
The short answer is yes.
I feel like they were, but I also feel like CCP has turned the corner on that core issues question.
Makes sense.
I think they're taking steps towards turning the corner. I don't know that I would say that they've turned the corner. There's still a lot of things as far as... what's the way to put this? I just think that they have... that there's a lot that needs to get done. I think that their new rapid release prototype and ramp up situation, I think it allows them the flexibility to make these changes. I want to see the changes come a little quicker.
Well, they're coming as quickly, literally, as they ever have in Eve's history.
I know.
Personally, I think Phoebe was a pretty big turn in the corner. That was like a very ambitious change to Eve's landscape. Now, they still have a lot of work to do, but it gives me a lot of hope that they're willing to bite the bullet and make some pretty strong changes to the game. It wasn't like the most technically demanding, although I guess the jump fatigue probably took quite a bit of technical doing, but it wasn't a rework of an existing problematic mechanic. That said, you know, they had the industry thing, and they already had Crime Watch under their belt. They're taking a similar approach to the whole Alliance mechanics and corporate mechanics with having an outside party come in and trying to document everything. That was revealed in the CSM minutes there. So, I mean, I'm cautiously optimistic, and I'm pretty excited about the direction if things do go well.
No, I mean, I agree with everything you're saying, Alec. I do. But like I said, I guess I'm coming from such a long time of being disappointed that I'm a little hesitant to say that I'm cautiously optimistic. Do I think that they've made huge strides, especially with something like with the Phoebe release? Yes, they have. And, you know, give me one or two more releases where they do take on those big and bold ideas and ideals and those big bold problems that we face, and let them show that they're not afraid. I'm all about then giving them my giving them my seal of approval, saying yes, okay, I have faith in CCP again. But they're not just going to get it back with a couple of pat with a couple of these releases. It's going to take more than that for me personally.
I think the two big potential speed bumps coming up are obviously sovereignty. They gotta nail that. Or if they don't nail it, be willing to fix it quickly. And the other one is either POSs or the corporate / alliance UI feature set, etc. Whichever one of those they decide to tackle first. King, I would think you're at that point, if they do both of those successfully, I think you're being super unreasonable if at that point you don't give them at least the benefit of the doubt.
Oh, no. I think that if they redo, I personally don't think that they're capable yet of handling Sov and nailing it. I don't. That's a personal opinion of mine. They've been dealing with Sov issues since forever and a day. I think that if they handle the POSs properly, and I think if they handle the Corp and Alliance UI, no, I'll back them 100%. I'll jump lockstep right on the train. If they handle it well and it comes out to be a good product, I will jump lockstep on. But I really don't think that CCP is in a position, and that may change. You know, give it 6 months. It may, my opinion of where they are as far as being able to deal with SAV may change. But SAV has been a problem that they have been unable to lock down for how many years?
Yeah, you need to let it go at some point, buddy.
Well, in fairness, how long have they even really been trying? They haven't touched SAV since Dominion.
I was going to say Dominion, and they've made small changes and tweaks to it here and there, trying to create, you know, quality of life improvements, but they haven't done anything sweeping that fixes the problems Dominion was supposed to fix.
I get what you're saying, right? Like, there's these huge technical hurdles and stuff, but you're missing the bigger picture and all, which is that the new system of releases, this rapid-fire release system, can, A, produce more stable releases than the previous system of where you packed, like, a year's worth of stuff into one release and hope you debugged it all right. It produces much more stable releases, and it proves that it can really start to tackle these bigger problems in smaller chunks. Like, that's the bigger picture here. Like, Phoebe, I think, for me, definitely turned a corner in terms of, like, CCP's reliability on patching and stuff, and the meme of, like, hang on, I'm about to die. The meme of, like, oh, it's patch day, set long training. Like, that meme is really not really the reality anymore.
As a matter of fact, you don't have to set training for, like, 2 years if you want to.
Yeah. But, no, I think they definitely turned a corner. And, yeah, I get, like, the technical hurdles things, what you're saying, but these hurdles existed before in the old system, and the old system was completely incapable of taking care of them if it didn't make them worse. So, like, the takeaway here is that the new system has the ability to actually chip away at these big problems, which is really the only way you're ever going to get them done.
Yeah, and I agree. But like I said, I just don't think that, I mean, maybe if I see something in the groundwork with their next few rapid-fire releases that lay a groundwork for something, for a fix for SAV, but I'd really like to see what they're, I'd really like to see some hard evidence of what they want to do with SAV to fix it, what their plans are, what their thoughts are, because everyone's got a lot of great ideas, but
none really kind of fix it. A lot of that was in the CSM minutes, I felt.
Yeah, I think some of it was, and I think that they have good ideas there. Again, I think, like I said, I'm not saying that CCP isn't making steps. I'm fully behind that. Like I said, I'm a bitter vet who's been here since forever and a day, and I've seen CCP kind of go down this hole of being afraid, and of taking, like, chances, and now they're doing it. And so it's going to take a couple of patches for me to be happy, for me to say that, wow, yeah, this is definitely something that I can get behind.
Alex, you're no longer the most bitter host of Declarations of War.
I can't believe that particular torch has been passed. That's incredible.
Don't worry. It may change. Like I said, may.
Well, let's see if I can reclaim that title here. There was one other piece on this show notes that I think is worth, two other pieces. Eve is way more fun to read about than it is to play. That was a quote from Jester's post. And I think that's still true.
Yeah, although the thing that has given me, I think, some of the most hope about that was CCP Rise's presentation of Eve Vegas. I think you were in the PvP room when that was happening, right, Alex?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, so he got up and he talked about the NPE and sort of what his team's doing on it, and I probably talked about some of this last show. They did a lot of playtests where they brought in people who had played video games but hadn't played Eve, and so they were doing things like opening up the map and expecting it to be useful, and that got a great laugh from the room. You just expect out of a video game, and the way it sounded like was, you know, the stuff that they're learning there is stuff that maybe they can address, and that they might want to address. So I think CCP is actually spending some effort on making that not as true.
Well, that is fairly encouraging, I think.
Well, I go back to Eve being more fun to read about than to actually play comes down to what kind of content you create for yourself. And that goes by... And that could be, you know, jumping into a ship and going on a solo roam to being in an active corporation with people who you enjoy your company with. Because, honestly, some of my best times in Eve have been being a member of Noir, being in some really big fights, and also some really, really small fights. So I really think that's subjective in the sense that if you're creating the content for yourself and you're enjoying the content that you're creating or that's being created for you through your actions, I think that, you know, Eve is a lot of fun to play and it's a lot of fun to read about as well.
Turtle?
What?
Do you have more fun playing Eve or reading about it?
Neither. None of the above.
Would you care to explain, podcast host?
Yeah, I don't know. Turtles. I don't know. I do like turtles. No, I don't know. Whatever. I have fun. I don't really have all that much fun reading about Eve. Like, I don't care for lore. And I mean, like, any news piece you really read has to be taken with a serious grain of salt, right? So, like, I don't know. Reading about it is just not all that much fun for me. I enjoy playing Eve, I guess, as much as one could after 10 years.
Hmm.
I think we all have our bitter vet areas.
But see, that's the thing, I'm not bitter. It's just like...
He's not bitter, he's just dead inside.
No, it's like, how long can one thing hold your attention for 10 years? Like, it's the reason people take breaks, it's the reason... Like, you play and then you don't play, and you don't sell your character because it's a stupid idea, because you're going to come back and play again. So, I don't know. It's kind of like a part of your life after a while.
Yeah, true. Well, I think that's how it sort of is for me, a part of my life now. It's what I do. You know, but I do wish the game was a bit more dynamic, not in that, like, a world-building sense of, or a social sense, but, like, in the actual physical playing of it was more engaging, interactive. But it is good to hear that there might be some movement on that someday. So here's a two-parter. And it's titled The Ultimate Irony. Springboard expansions have nothing to jump off to. We're talking about increasing the peak concurrent user count for a game which crashes because single system capacity is exceeded during fights, and Eve's fundamental gameplay dynamic is painfully out of date. Well, the first part's right out of the water with Phoebe.
No kidding. Yeah, I mean, I don't know that the back end stuff has changed, or at least CCP hasn't talked about it changing.
But now it's just extremely unlikely that it would ever happen.
What, the server stuff?
Jamming enough people in a single system to crash the game.
Oh, yeah.
Is it though?
Well, I mean, if you get to a major conflict between major blocks, there's no reason you can't jam that many people into a system. It's not like, you know, Phoebe expansion prevented Asakai, but it doesn't prevent BR.
Well.
Yeah. It doesn't prevent either of those, really.
Not jumping when you're supposed to bridge prevents Asakai.
I mean, like, either of those could still happen, but I think it's now you're going to see it's unlikely for those sorts of things to mushroom quite as large as they once did. Or who knows? It still might. I think that's because this is really a two-part question. And the one part is, can Eve players do it? And the other one is, do Eve players want to do it? And, you know, right now, the can side of it is much more difficult, but the want side of it, people still want to go do that. And I think the SAV type change is probably going to be what's needed to answer the other part of that question and make it not as desirable to, like, look for content elsewhere because content is happening all around you. I mean, what part of the reason that stuff like BTECR and ASCII happens is because there's nothing else going on. I think it remains to be seen a month after Phoebe, you know, whether things are still in a dynamic state or if they're settling down, because while Phoebe has changed how players move around, it hasn't changed what they move to or why they move.
I think with the Phoebe change, I think we might see a change. I think we're going to see eventually an overall shift and a shrinking in overall territory owned by large alliances just because of the way that Phoebe has restricted movement. I don't think it's going to be like a 70 or an 80% shrinkage or anything crazy like that, but I think you're going to see, you know, anywhere between 10 and 20% of every block shrinking their overall size or increasing their renter base to offset the jump issues that they're going to be presented with in order to be able to still bring super capitals to the fights where they matter. And I think that's going to open up some really great opportunities for people who want to create content for their corporations by going out and living in those scary zones of being right up against a major block in their house.
I don't think anyone's looking for a bigger rental empire.
Northern Coalition is. Northern Associates is adding regions, not subtracting them. Although they did just give two away, so who knows. I think the one bright side to this is that with the way CCP is pacing these releases, we could see a SOB change in 2 months, 4 months. We don't necessarily have to have a soon TM kind of thing. We already know that they have two models that are pretty far on their way conceptually. So it's, you know, wouldn't be unreasonable to expect at least small movements on the motivations and incentives and structure side of the question, you know, sooner rather than later. The other part of that is Eve's fundamental gameplay dynamic is painfully out of date. I still feel like that's true, and for me, that's the reason why Eve is more fun to read about than to play.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's why I was saying I was excited about some of the playtesting stuff, because, yeah, that's... I can't argue with that. I mean, the parts of it that are still good and unique are still good and unique, but It's clunky.
Flying your ship should be funner. That's what it all comes down to. And shooting other people should be more exciting.
So you're making the change to Star Citizen then?
Well, no, probably not. But I would like Eve to perhaps become a little bit more dynamic on the piloting side of things. Like, I do almost everything in Eve through right clicks to like get ranges and stuff, or maybe I'll double click in space if I need to for manual piloting purposes. But like Allie said, it's extremely clunky.
So I said, so you're moving to Star Citizen in 20 whatever it comes out.
I would like CCP to kill that game in its cradle by making Eve so much better than Star Citizen could ever be. That's my preference.
I would love to see that happen.
Alright. Well, that's it for CSM. Well, of course, include links. The reason why I didn't hear Bam talk and weigh in on that discussion is he had to go for work during the course of that discussion. So we thank him very much for showing up. He may join us to sign off, but it's not likely. But this goes back to our previous episode, the two-parter. It was very long. We had planned to have a dramatic reading on that episode, but, I mean, we were already pushing close to 3 hours. So we decided to, you know, put it off, and we're going to do it right now. This is I'm going to set the stage for you. This is an interaction that happened in the Noir recruitment channel, Cafe Noir Dot. And in Cafe Noir Dot, right at the top of the MOTD, it's my name with a link, all the directors' name with links, and that you can contact them for recruitment. It's got links to threads where you can go and put your application and instructions that you should post a thread or talk to one of these directors, or preferably post a thread and then talk to one of these directors about recruitment. And this is like a fairly visible white and yellow font on black. It's, you know, very easy to see. Very large. Not going to miss it. During the time of this interaction, we had a fleet up, so there were multiple people online, including myself. Let us begin. This is Spectre121 trying to join Noir. I will be playing myself. Spectre121 will be being played by Kingblade. Feyral will be played by Ali Ross. And Priestar and Crazy Monkey, because they only have a few lines combined, are going to be played by the same person, and that will be Ninja Turtle.
So, quick sidebar. Priestar's voice, I'm going to do like this. And Crazy Monkey's voice, I'm going to do like this.
Wait, Priestar, Crazy Monkey, you're in the room? What?
Hey there, buddies. You sure you don't want the Macho Man to do one of these voices, brother?
Positive. Macho Man, keep drinking your Fanta.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
So, where are these directors at?
The character listing on the right-hand side.
Well, I'd like to see about joining.
www.normarch.com. Go to the forum section. Read the recruitment section for requirements. Smiley face.
Yeah, I'd rather talk to someone about in person, bro.
Are you looking to join Noir or Noir Academy?
Well, trust me, I'm qualified to join, brother.
Apparently not, considering you couldn't find the channel's user list.
So you didn't answer my question.
Well, that's nice. So when I asked earlier, no one said anything, nor were online when I convoed them.
Are you looking to join Noir or Noir Academy?
If the Academy's for scrubs, then no. I'll be looking to join the regular one.
It is.
When you master the art of finding out who's online versus not online, and how to read a chat room's character list, feel free to apply.
Unfortunately, your killboard doesn't match your attitude.
You thinking this is my only character makes me question your common sense.
It's the character you're presenting. So what's this about common sense? You got a big mouth for tiny brains.
No, one of these again.
You have a big mouth just for asking about recruiting.
Meh.
If you have questions about us, please ask. I'll answer any of them. Keep in mind, we like to keep it adult, and proper grammar goes a long ways.
I try not to recruit idiots. Enough slip in as it is.
Also, try not to piss off our founder and CEO.
Yeah, well, apparently your founder is a chode, and the recruitment channel is so... good luck pulling dudes to troll off the bat.
Winner. Get the fuck out.
You so do have a chode.
That's cute. So you do.
Yeah, so you I do have a chode.
Forgive Kingblade. If a word could be misspelled, just assume that it is.
Yeah.
If a letter could be substituted for a word, just, you know, picture it.
Yeah.
Or try again on one of the other characters you spoke of.
Spec, you're welcome to hang out if you behave. If you keep up with the shit talk, you're going to get removed from the channel. And we're not going to accept you into the corp either way.
I was behaving till you guys acted like assholes.
That's what behaving looks like to you?
I'd rather talk on TeamSpeak than look at a forum post.
Why would we want to talk to you on TS?
Why not?
We aren't interested in shooting the shit with applicants at this stage. There are too many fail-ups I don't want to have to deal with.
With your opening lines, you're rude, disregard our rules, and don't have basic understanding of EU's interface.
It's also easier to share the application with everyone when it's in text.
Yeah, I doubt you have many noobs coming asking if we can talk in person.
That's the way it is.
Which is why I'm in NC, that's cute. Let me just contact you with my Titan alt to a Merc Alliance. Right, okay, have fun being gays.
Don't really care if you have a Titan alt, to be honest.
I mean, as far as I know, you're an NC's Renner Alliance. Which he was. If you want to make a better impression, contact us with your PvP main, follow directions, and behave like we'd want to be around you for hours in a fleet.
Do all you guys jerk each other off while recruits ask you about your alley?
I would hope that recruits aren't asking about me. Nope, dealing with recruits is a pain in the ass. I kind of dread it.
Ooh, he's homophobic to boot. We really missed out on a winner.
I just asked to talk. I really like the trolling atmosphere.
Atmosphere,
excuse me.
Speck might enjoy test a bit more.
Talk about adults. Adult language and proper grammar.
All misspelled.
Yeah.
I hear X-Death's new Renner Alliance is recruiting.
So I was promised a kick.
They're Russian, so they won't know you. Oh no, we're not going to kick you. We're still having fun at your expense.
I enjoy the lack of balls.
I can imagine. You must feel very comfortable in a ball-free environment.
It's real sweet how badass you guys thing you are.
See, guys, no fatherly influence right there. No personality.
For CEO, you deaf bitch a lot. Also, to be recruiting, you must be hurting, bro.
Nah, not especially.
Frat life, bro. So what's your TS address? I want to come say hi.
TS3NARQuonkyFaggots.com.
Actually, I don't, like... Should I say their names? Like...
sure.
So, okay, Pre-Star pipes in at this point. TS3.NoirCloakyFaggots.com, which, side note, is a website we used to own.
And Crazy and Monkey then, comes in.
Yeah, Crazy Monkey pipes in with TS3.SmokeWeedEveryDay.com.
TS must suck to be a renter.com.
TS3.LearnToRoleplay.TakeThisLube.gov.ca.
It's pretty cool the renters have space.
TS3, I'm so good I can't even use the chatinterface.com port leet.
Or TS3, my corp has 54people.com.
TS3, maybe if I act cool and use the word bro, people will like me.com.
Or TS3, I blow dudes.com.
I'm getting the sense Spectre121 is questioning his sexuality.
So... do guys pitch or catch? I feel I'm the only one here that gets laid.
Must be a young teen or a sheltered college student just now expanding his horizons and frightened about his new feelings.
It's not even you guys. It's just do guys pitch or catch? Like,
yeah. Yeah, so do guys.
He might not know, guys. He might not know.
Edit. By so girls that are less than 200 pounds. So where do you guys base out of?
New Eden.
Because you're fat, I get it, and get tired after humping.
Know how he projects, then attacks his homosexual urges, then tries to reinforce his own heterosexual facade. It's a classic case, closet self-loather. And that's it for the dramatic reading. Definitely worth the wait.
Man, that was a quality applicant that we missed out of. I could have been hanging out with that guy every day, and I've missed out.
I know, bro.
But yeah, for those of you, I apologize for the way that my reading had come out. If you are to read this chat, how terribly things are spelled and grammatically placed, it's a natural resolve for me to try to fix it. Oh God, it's terrible.
Turtle, do you have no personality jerk dick?
I don't think so.
Ah, it would have been perfect. But, yeah, he's probably out looking for an ethnic minority right now. But he can't decide whether to pitch or catch, because he's just not sure how things are supposed to work.
Well, I definitely think he should be a catcher.
I mean, I think you should, you know, look at the internet, and there's a wide range of things that you can do, and there's a wide range of options out there, and the internet has detailed instructions for every single one.
But he'd have probably to, like, spell it right so Google would know what he was talking about. Their autocorrect is only do good. So. It can only do so much, Allie. Come on. We can't put that all on Google.
We can play Guess the Minority.
That's racist, Turtle.
Well, hold on just one second, because I think it's time to play everybody's favorite game. It's Guess the Minority!
I think it's disparaging to all minorities to assume that Spectre is one. Personally, I pity whatever racial, ethnic, or sexual orientation, geographic area, profession, if he can even find work being so illiterate. He's just, I mean, whoever does pick up this guy in Eve, God bless you. God bless your heart.
No offense, but I hate to say this, but I believe he's probably a mid-teen white kid.
No doubt.
Just from the way that he writes, and I mean, just his overall lack of, you know, fucks given.
What are you trying to say, bro? Frat life, bro. Frat life.
Yeah.
All right, guys. That's it. Go to declarationsofwar.com for the show poll. Check out EveBet. Check out Eve Down Under. Follow Bam on Twitter. On our site, you can leave a comment. You can put in a donation. We really appreciate these. You guys help keep the show going. Also, again, if you're an iTunes user, drop us a review, man. We'd really appreciate it. You can reach Noir via our public channel, CafeNoir.com, and apply to join us on our forums at NoirMerx.com. Good hunting, listeners. Awesome as I want to be. First to see me riding on a sonic boom. Got my guitar shredding up the latest tune.